I'm Andrea, founder of a boutique handbag brand, Andy, and this is why I switched to Shopify. I tried three other platforms prior to Shopify, and I remember my breaking point was when I would try to make one little change and my entire site would go down. Shopify made it really easy for me to shift everything over and hit the ground running. I was able to migrate my products and all of my customer information over.
Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Go to shopify.com/listen to take your business to the next level today.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
There's some areas of the country where properties are pretty expensive and it's very difficult to make money on a monthly cash flow basis. The upside is that some of these properties can appreciate, and they can appreciate quite a bit. And that's exactly what my guest on the podcast did. He lives in Los Angeles. He bought properties, he rented them out, and over time, these properties appreciated. He sold the properties, he took the profit, and he bought more properties. He fixed them up, he was able to raise the rent over time, and today he makes a significant amount of money on his rental property, so much that he was able to retire, and today he lives off his rental income. He's got a great story about starting from nothing and building a lot of wealth. So let's take a quick break. We'll come right back and we'll meet Renny Gabriel. Having to evict a tenant is painful. The best way to protect yourself from evictions is to screen tenants. And the best way that I know of to screen tenants is TransUnion Smart Move. It's a really valuable online screening tool delivering credit, eviction, and background reports in minutes. And their proprietary tenant credit check predicts evictions 15% better than generic credit scores. See why over 4 million landlords have used SmartMove to make better leasing decisions. Use code RENTAL25 at checkout to save 25% at tenantscreening.com. That's code RENTAL25 at tenantscreening.com. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified, and I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. All right, so I want to talk to you about your story, because I think you have such a fascinating story on how you became financially independent. So why don't you tell us where you are today, and then we'll kind of take a step back and figure out how you got there.
Okay. My fear of talking about where I am today is that people won't be able to relate to it, but hopefully when we get to where it started, they will.
Yeah.
Because at this point, we're down to about 27, rental units in the multifamily. We had 50 when we had another partner, and then we bought them out and we were down to 27, or we were down to 30 something, and I've sold off stuff. Yeah. The income today from the rentals is about $40,000 a month, and that's far more than we need to live on. So our net worth continues to grow and grow. I mean, we added like $2 million to it just in the last couple of years.
Congratulations. That's really great. So is that $40,000, is that your net, or is that after all expenses?
That's a gross number. Okay. And we pay our mortgages from that.
Okay.
Any expenses that might show up, but it also include the expenses also include our cars, our cell phones, and just so many things that for someone who's on a who's an employee does not get to deduct.
Sure. The way you got there is kind of interesting, because you got there pretty late in life. When you were 50, you were broke.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, absolutely.
So you have nothing at 50, and today you're financially independent. So I think this is going to be interesting to figure out how you got there. So tell me about the first property that you bought when you decided you were going to get into rentals.
Okay. So I'll tell you, the first property was a triplex, but before I describe it, I'll tell you that although I was financially broke, it doesn't mean I lost my skills. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean I couldn't think. It doesn't mean I couldn't relate to people. It doesn't mean I couldn't sell something. Mm-hmm. So while I had no money, I was at least able to earn an income. It wasn't a lot, but I was earning about $5,000 a month providing business coaching to financial planning and accounting firms. In other words, accountability to keep them on track to grow their businesses.
Okay.
So out of that, I was setting aside $500 a month.
Okay.
So I used a concept called pay yourself first. It's, you know, 5,000 years old. And when you and I are dust, it'll still be working. Mm-hmm. And in 3 years, I'd saved up $18,000. I just was so proud of myself.
Yeah.
Here I am, 53 years of age.
Yeah.
I've got $18,000 to my name. Whoop, whoopee. and my wife had a real estate partner who said he found this triplex and he wants to buy it. And I said, terrific. I only had $18,000, so I certainly couldn't be his partner. So my wife chipped in 18, and our 36 and his 36, the three of us bought this little triplex.
Okay.
And we updated it. We increased the rents, you know, with new tenants. We fixed up the landscaping, and this would have been around 2001 or so. And at that time, you know, property values were rising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I could see this was going to be a winner. And so what I did was I borrowed more money from wherever I could so that we could make down payments on more apartment buildings. And probably about the sixth, seventh, eighth year or so, we had 50 units from the original three that we purchased.
All right. So let me ask you this. So from the time that you bought that first property, how long did it take you until you had enough money that you were in a good position?
I would say probably 7 years.
7 years. Okay.
Yeah,
so you bought that first property and the market appreciated and you made a pretty good return on that property.
We made about $500,000 on it. So my $18,000 would have equated to about $130,000 in about 6 years.
That is really incredible. Now you have $500,000 now. So you have two choices. You can sell the property and take the $500,000, but then you're going to have to pay a bunch of taxes, or you could do a 1031 exchange and take that $500,000 and put it into buying more real estate. Which way did you go?
We took that money and we did a 1031 exchange into a 15-unit building that had deferred maintenance and was poorly managed, where we saw we could add value, turn it around, and that's what we did. And that was just an absolute home run.
That 15-unit, so basically you took a 3-unit building that was probably not making you that much money, right?
No, I mean, total rents were probably about $4,000 a month.
Okay. And then, like, after you paid your mortgage on it and your expenses, like, how much of a profit do you think you were making on that?
Oh, probably maybe around $500 a month.
Okay. And then you buy the 50, you said it was a 15-unit building?
Yeah, correct.
So you bought the 15-unit building and you were able to raise the rents. So, like, and really, you're just moving equity around. Like, you took that $500,000 that you made from the first property, you moved it to a bigger building. And then what are you looking at as far as rents for the new building?
Well, it had deferred maintenance. It was poorly managed. The gross rents on that building were $5,800 a month.
When you bought it?
When we bought it. And we poured about $250,000 of remodeling money into it. And the rents 18 months later, instead of $5,800, were at $16,000 a month.
That is huge. Wow.
Yeah.
And $250,000 you put into the building, was that, from that $500,000?
That was from other stuff that we had.
Okay.
But you got to figure with the increase of $10,000 a month in the rents, we recouped all that money in 24 months.
Sure. Sure. All right. So now you've got $16,000 in gross rent. And of course you've got mortgages and other expenses. And so you're on a, I feel like you're heading in the right direction, and that must have been pretty exciting. You could probably see the light at the end of the tunnel that you've got now some significant income, but with a partner, you've got to pay the partner some of the money. So that's not quite enough to retire, quote unquote, at that point. So like, what did you do next? Like how did you continue to grow your income?
Well, that was just one of the moves that we made. And there was another 3-unit that we purchased, and we held it for 14 months and we made $350,000 on that one. There were some other buildings that we bought. The point is, we did buying and selling. We did tax deferred exchanges.
Okay.
And like I said, in about 7, maybe it was 8 years, we went from the 3 units that we started with, we got up to 50 units that the three of us owned and controlled and managed.
Now, a lot of people might be thinking, wow, you know, he hit the jackpot. And he got lucky on appreciation, and that's how he was able to do all this stuff. But looking back at the time, you didn't know that it was going to appreciate like that, did you?
No. Yeah. I had very simplistic idea of what I needed to do. And there were two things that we were looking at. One of them was not the appreciation. It was, we're looking for buildings that have deferred maintenance and they're mismanaged where we can add value.
Mm-hmm.
So that was formula number one, because we figured we will increase the value of the building by redoing it, increasing the rents, because it would sell based on a multiple of rents.
Mm-hmm.
So if we added value, it would be worth more regardless of any appreciation.
Right.
And the second one was, and this is where, because I failed high school math, all I could really think of was, well, for each unit that we own, when we pay it off, if we're getting $1,000 a month rent or $1,500 a month rent, whatever it is, then that'll be the income.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have 50 units and we've paid them off, we'll have $50,000 a month of income.
Right. Right.
What I didn't realize was you never have to pay off the buildings, because if the rents are going up, the value is increasing. You could borrow more money against the building and go out and buy more mm-hmm. buildings.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's something a lot of people miss when they're evaluating buying a rental, is that the rents that you're looking at are the rents today. But if you're able to raise the rents by improving the property, plus the market brings the rents higher over time, you're going to have significantly more money than you have the day you buy the property. Is that what exactly. you've seen a lot of?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I didn't realize this until I was several years down the road in the process. And, you know, like I said, I failed high school math. Mm-hmm. You know, these were calculations right. beyond my skill set.
Right.
And I'm thinking from the standpoint of, you know, let's say people want to have an income they can't outlive, and they go and they buy an annuity and it's going to pay them $1,000 a month or $10,000 a month or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? $10,000 a month today is not going to be worth $10,000 a month in 10 or
sure.
20 years.
Sure.
But my $1,000 a month rent today could be $1,200, $1,500, or $2,000 a month rent in 10 or 20 years.
Right. It's always going to go up, or, you know, hopefully always go up.
Yeah.
Now, so basically the way that you built your portfolio was improving properties and then taking the profit that you would have on the property and then doing a 1031 exchange into a new property. So you never had to pay any tax on on the gains, and you were able to buy more and more properties because you had more money.
Yes, that was one of the approaches. And the other was, because we've increased the value of the building and we're getting higher rents, we could refinance the building and take that cash and buy another building. And there's also no tax on borrowed funds.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, you mentioned that you had over 50 properties and now you've scaled back. Like, why did you do that? Why did you get rid of some of the properties?
16 of the properties went to the partner we bought out.
Okay. Okay. So
you take these, we'll take the rest. Equal values. So we ended up with about 34 properties.
Okay. So you just split it up. So you had exactly. All your rentals. You took some 100%. You gave him 100%.
Yep.
And went your separate ways.
Exactly.
So do you think that somebody today, someone that's just starting out today, do you think that they could do what you've done?
Absolutely. And in the same way, probably the most important thing I could say, and it's a quote I created a long time ago, and that's wealth creation is a team sport, not a solo sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can look back at any successful business I had or any unsuccessful business I had. And the ones that failed are the ones where I was in charge of everything. And the ones that succeeded are when I had partners where we had alignment.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, having partners and growing with partners is a theme that's come up a lot recently on the podcast. And that's interesting mm-hmm. that you're saying that. And a lot of people have been really successful, they haven't done it alone. They've had partners. So is there any advice that you could give someone on where to find a good partner?
I would start with the relationships that you have and ask. If it's not that close to you, then there are the real estate investment networks and clubs where you can meet people. You need to vet them. You need to find out if who they say they are is who they are, that they do what they say. Because the biggest difficulty when it comes to growing wealth with someone is the integrity that must exist.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the bottom line is, I'll bring up another quote from Warren Buffett. And his quote is, of the billionaires I have known, money just brings out the basic traits in them.
Yeah.
If they were jerks before they had money, they were just jerks with $1 billion.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he's right. I mean, yeah, I think that's true. Like, money isn't going to change you. It's going to just bring right. out whoever you are. Sure. You know, let me ask you one more question before we wrap things up. When you started at 50 years old, did you have any idea that you would be where you are today?
Oh, gosh, no. No, I was operating completely out of fear that at 65, I might have nothing if I don't get my butt in gear and really focus on doing something. And the funniest part about it is, you know, I passed 65, you know, like 6 years ago. And, you know, that's just a number.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's like, what am I going to really retire from? There's nothing to retire from.
Right.
I'm loving what
right.
I'm doing.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Rennie, congratulations. I mean, I think you have done a just phenomenal job of building your portfolio and making everything happen. I mean, you really have just done a textbook example of how this should be done. If somebody wants to learn more about you, you've got a couple of training programs. Like, tell us what you have going on today and where someone can track you down online.
Yeah, sure. Probably the thing I'm most proud of is that 100% of the income, or excuse me, of the profits that come from my website, my books, my training, my coaching, any of that where I'm supporting other people, I have a group training program, 100% of the profits I donate to charity. That's really where I'm coming from at this point. If they go to wealthonanyincome.com, I have a bunch of free resources. They can get a summary of my award-winning best-selling book. You know, three pages, they'll find out everything important that's in the book. There's tools on how to ask for referrals. There's tools on how to evaluate a property. There's all that stuff's free if they just opt into the website.
If you want to look up Rennie's website later on, I've got a link to it on my website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode231. If this is your first time checking out the podcast, make sure you subscribe. We've got new interviews every single Tuesday. And if you subscribe, you'll get those interviews delivered to you automatically as soon as they come out. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chailey Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If you are looking to buy a rental property, whether you're just getting started or you want to add to your portfolio, I definitely recommend you check out Chailey. The reason I like her and the reason I recommend her as a lender is that she's not what you would think of as a pushy salesperson. She's more of an educator, and she'll take time to explain all the different options to you. She's got dozens of different loan programs, and she'll find the program that works best for you. If you want to learn more, you can check her out. Her website is ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. And if you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you checking out the podcast. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.